It is a Patriots Monday and a Mayo Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium after a win for the New England Patriots, and Gerard Mayo will be with us coming up at 9 or right around there on today's show. Tomorrow, Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday, and I promised you a couple lively debates on ballot questions in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in advance of the election, which is 8 days away.
You know what we need?
Let me just finish this one sentence. Tomorrow morning, we will be joined by actress and activist Eliza Dushku, who is
Watertown's own.
She is an advocate for psychedelics and the use of shrooms and the like. She is responsible for the question that you will vote on about whether or not we ought to work toward legalizing that. So she'll join us at 9:20 on tomorrow's show.
And I'm so excited.
You
because
are?
She's a star in one of my favorite movies of all time.
Which film is that?
Bring It On.
Eliza Dushku. She used to be married to Rick Fox, I believe. Yes, Curtis.
I was just going to say we need more political ads. I don't think we have enough.
The ones during the game yesterday were terrible.
They're getting to annoy you now. You don't want to hear how Jean Shaheen is an awful person.
These women who I've never heard of in my life are each telling the other that they're that they're basically the scarlet letter wearing losers of society. But I would say this. Mm-hmm. The most powerful video politically related I have seen in a very long time was by an actual survivor of Auschwitz talking about the absurdity of calling political opponents Hitler.
Yes, I saw that too.
It was just so, can we just leave Hitler out of it?
Yeah.
There is no worse. Yeah. There could be bad people. There have been a million. But Hitler, there is no way that the reason I'm so fascinated by World War II is that there's no way for you to understand the level of evil required to do the things that guy orchestrated.
Yeah.
So can we just say, he's a bad dude. He's I don't know, Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Or
nobody really, if you're asking if there's anybody political leaders, there's nobody. Yeah,
right, but if you want to say somebody's a liar about something, pick somebody in politics.
Compare them to Richard Nixon or something
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
The worst commercial I saw yesterday was the guy who's like, I'm a Republican and I voted for Donald Trump twice, but I'm not doing it this time. And he's in the woods chopping wood and stereotypical
manly things.
Yeah. Right.
And there is no way that guy's voting for Kamala. Just the guy from Alabama with the American flag hat.
Right in the rock.
Well, anyway, a couple of the ballot questions will come down to the wire, and we talked a little bit on this show about question five, and raising the minimum wage for servers and bartenders, and we'll do that too at some point this week. But a little discussion about question four with Eliza Dushku on this show tomorrow. Drake May, we'll get an update from Gerard Mayo, whatever he will tell us, coming up at 9. Certainly the one negative in yesterday's upset win for the New England Patriots of the New York Jets. And so I guess will be at least another week at a minimum, right? Do you suspect it's more than that?
No, I think he plays Sunday.
You think he's going to play on
Sunday?
Yeah,
you heard Mayo talking about he wanted to get back in there. As long as he clears concussion protocol,
then you think that you get him for Tennessee.
Yeah. All right.
And the hit didn't look that bad. Yeah. You can watch it in slow-mo a million times, and it always look worse there. But in real time, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, probably got his bell rung, wanted to come back in, but the independent doctor said no,
Sean, you would know better than I would. Was there a concussion issue with him at all at UNC?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So I don't think he missed a single snap at UNC in the 2 years that he started.
Yeah. Well, Tua figured out how to slide. I noticed that yesterday, and
so scary.
He ended up, he was sacked pretty hard early in that game and seemed like he was fine. Right. So I agree.
I was watching that, Greg, and I wanted to ask, you just reminded me, as a player, obviously you didn't play defense, but is there any way, or is this way too Pollyanna of me, that there might be players that choose to hit Tua differently out of fear of being someone who
ends his career
or worse.
Or worse. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think in the heat of the moment, you just – I think there are times just with the quarterback position,
right,
guys don't really know how to hit certain guys, and we've seen it before. But I don't think that guys are going into it and saying, oh, like, I got a beeline or two, or let me take it easy. I think it's just natural reaction. The thing that you should do – and it's very difficult for quarterbacks and defenders. It almost has to be like, especially with Tua, give yourself up extremely early so you don't get caught into like a Drake May situation. Not that Drake May didn't give himself up early, but sometimes if you wait to that last minute, the defenders are already flying and it's, you know, they're coming in to take a hit. And then if you slide, it –
okay, but
you can't get hit a little bit.
There was no confusion on – I mean, I guess he stayed up maybe a little longer than he should have.
I'm just saying give it up extremely early, Greg.
But there should have been no confusion mm-hmm. on the part of the officials about the helmet to helmet.
Oh, no. I agree with that.
Yeah, no. I mean, we all saw it. It's
right.
A giant
yeah.
missed call, and that's – it's like the face mask a couple weeks ago. Like, how are you watching the guy who has the football and right. not making the call? And
well, it's like the Vikings game.
Yeah.
The face mask.
Yes.
Like, literally in the end zone.
Same thing.
Yeah. But the thing that I don't understand is, and listen, I'm not going to bitch about the refs. I thought they were awful. I don't know whether if you're bad, you get worse ref teams. I don't know. But they just seem to be brutal all year long. The pass interference calls, and then they make up calls. When Devontae Adams was bitching that he didn't get a flag next time down,
yeah.
they call some phantom flag. But shouldn't there be just Goodell doing his job? Shouldn't there just be one ref focused on hits to the quarterback's head?
Yeah.
If that's really – the NFL thinks that that's their moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most vital position, it's the most protected position in the NFL, the quarterback. Why wouldn't you just have one guy – that looks to see if they're doing things to the guy's head. Like it's.
I think
so that
Greg's
easy.
Right. You have multiple guys because once the quarterback, like every official has things that they're looking at. Now, once that quarterback or the player with the ball now starts to move into an open field area, I think I'm not a ref, but I would imagine that the focus by a few refs would be like, okay, let's watch what's going on around that ball carry, especially the quarterback. And when he slides, then it becomes where, all right, did the guy miss him? But then we saw that the guy hit him there, so there should have been a flag there.
Are you talking about the pass interference call on Christian Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Absurd.
Like a tiny tug on the arm, basically. Like a ridiculous call.
I know we do the Chiefs thing a lot, but when a receiver pushes the defensive back with an arm, that supersedes whatever contact may have happened before that. And that's either no call or offensive pass interference.
Yeah.
But they never call it that way.
They don't call offensive pass interference. And listen, I've been guilty of that. And you see there are a ton of guys guilty of that in the NFL. And that's why when we have Ty on, it's extremely difficult to play defensive back because you get called for every little thing.
The call Greg's talking about, though, wasn't that ball not catchable either?
That's also a great point.
It didn't seem like it was.
Right, so that's why I didn't get it.
But remember, the non-catchable, and Belichick talked about this on the Manning cast, which was spectacular. There is no ball that is deemed non-catchable when there's a pass interference. Have you ever seen them pick up a flag for saying, because they're saying, well, if the guy didn't get hit, he
might have
never
been able to.
So, yeah.
They did used to. Like, I don't know if it was 5 years ago.
That was a long, long time
ago.
When was the last time you seen the ref go, okay, we're picking up the flag because it was a non-catchable
ball? I don't remember it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday, and let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Sean, you got me a little bit stuck. Is that System of a Down?
No, that is Trapped.
Oh, okay.
With their, they might be a one-hit wonder. I'm not exactly sure.
Is it T-R-A-P-T?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. What's the name of that song?
That would be Headstrong, because the Patriots really, really rose to the occasion on Sunday.
Oh, Shine, well done. Thank you. Leeds right now. Good morning, and thank you for being here, even though you have strep throat, Chime.
Greg, my pleasure. I'm glad I was able to get here. I'm in a bit of a medication fog, so if you know I say something silly, just mock me later for it.
I feel like the fact that you are working sick is a bigger upset than the one the New England Patriots had yesterday.
Yeah, it's pretty big, and yes. But we're here. We're having fun. I wasn't having fun yesterday, though. I was in a lot of agony when I watched Drake May not be able to play in the second half of the football game. But it sounds like, or at least seems to me, like he probably could have played. And Jerod May was like, yep, we're not going to risk this. We're not even going to take a chance. You just sit out the rest of the game, and you can come back next week or 2 weeks, whatever. It doesn't matter. And that, I think that's the right approach from Mayo, a guy who's made a lot of missteps along the way. Even if Drake could have come back in the second half of that game, like, I think it was right to just keep him out and, you know, handle him with baby gloves. Like, this is, as Curtis and Courtney pointed out, Drake May's the guy. Like, he is a legit, really good quarterback. He has the potential to be one of the, you know, top 12, top 10, top 7 quarterbacks in football. And you just need to treat him appropriately as you kind of get him along here in his career. And so I think that was the right decision by Mayo in, you know, a week where we had been questioning him a lot. I think first instinct there was very good by him.
Okay, all right.
He made the decision before even going into the locker room at halftime, too, because when he was talking, going off the field, he said, yeah, you know, Drake's not going to be in for the rest of the game.
Yes, so. He does. He does like to hand information out left and right, Jerod Mayo.
Yes, he does.
He really does. I was shocked that he said that heading into halftime. But all right, thank you, Shime. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. So Christian Gonzalez had this to say after the chaotic week of Softgate.
Yeah, I mean, I hit on it earlier in the week. I mean, he said it, but I mean, that wasn't something he ain't say to us first. I mean, it's not, nobody took it personal. It's a challenge, you know. So I mean, we came out and did what we had to do.
So, you know, one guy's opinion, but through 8 games, the Patriots have identical record as they did last year, 2-6, both teams not good. But a thing that we all reacted, I put myself in there, I didn't think it was wise. We confronted Mayo in a very polite way about it a week ago today.
Yep.
But maybe this is why Bill's not here, because he thought he knew these guys and he was all butthurt on their behalf, and they took it and said it was a challenge.
Yeah.
The most talented guy on the defense, Christian Gonzalez, who is a young guy but clearly becoming one of the leaders, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and he heard those comments from Jerod Mayo and took them as a challenge to improve on the field. The defense did that. We were all ready to say Mayo's cooked. And what they did on defense against a team, albeit not in a great spot, but far more talented. And it just brought me back to the old Belichick days, where there would be these weeks where, whether it was on to Cincinnati or you name the subject du jour, and the team would just go out, ignore the noise, perform, and get a win. And I think Jerod Mayo is owed some semblance from me specifically, because mm-hmm. I was ripping him. I thought it was a bad thing to do, but clearly it worked this week. And just going back to last year, 2-6, Mac Jones had 9 touchdown passes in those 8 games. They averaged 1 point more per game through the first 8 games last year than they have to this point. And the Patriots make it a win this Sunday against the Titans. So maybe we were all a little too quick in our desire to get Mayo out the door.
Is that win yesterday more about the New England Patriots overcoming the roster and the outside noise, or more about the New York Jets being an absolute dumpster fire currently?
The Patriots were the dumpster fire entering the game, and they lost their starting quarterback.
More so than the Jets.
Oh, the Jets were favored by 8 points.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I would think, but the Jets are, that you call the curse, they're a dumpster fire. That's a game that the Jets should be able to win and win easily. Especially when the other team's starting quarterback gets hurt. So to your point, Greg, it's more of a dumpster fire by the New York Jets being the favorite, coming in here and literally peeing down your leg against the team. Like, if I'm a Jets fan today, I am so disappointed in the performance of my team. Whereas if the Patriots lost that football game, you probably sit there and go, you know what? Yeah, nobody expected it.
They had no right winning it anyway.
Yeah, you know.
They lost Drake May, and so, yeah.
It's like the dumpster fire is the Jets. I mean, oh, God. Well,
I look forward to Pat McAfee at 1 o'clock today to hear what the old coach will say about it.
oh, yeah. Bill, we'll hear what Bill has to say about this.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Whiff by Bill.
All right. Speaking of saying things, we will get to They Said It coming up in about 20 minutes or so at 7. And leads from Courtney and Wiggy and from me coming up next from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday after a win here at WEEI.